Good morning. This is from Thomas Village Baptist Church. We're glad you're here this morning with us, and we're going to start our service off with a song. So if you've got your hymnal at the house, it's going to be number 451, so Tell It to Jesus.
You didn't know I could talk without moving my lips, did you? We got Kim back in the sound booth here, so anyway, we're going to kick things off here. Are you weary? Are you heavy burden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving or the joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. No other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unhidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to man's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus, He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus, He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone.
Good morning, church. Good morning, friends in Facebook land, and hope you're okay this morning, up and going and ready. Good morning to those in our parking lot listening on 88.1. We're glad you're here this morning. We're glad that God has spared our lives and our health for another week, another day, and we're praying that you're safe and your family's safe. We have many on our prayer list, and just a few to call to mind. Miss Ruby Keck, Virginia Edens, Eddie Hood, Eddie's home, and we're prayerful and thankful for that. And so many others on our prayer list this morning that need your touch, God, and need our prayers, church. So remember those when you pray this week. And many others that are in need of prayer, many in need of salvation. I have friends, and I have relatives, I have neighbors that need salvation. And some want to listen, and some don't want to hear what you have to say about Christ and the need to turn their lives to Him. But it's a sad story when you hear that they think the Bible is like a fairy tale. And they think that somebody made all that up and just wrote it down. But 40-some men wrote it down, not one man. And God revealed to them what to say. It's inspired. The Bible says it's inspired by God. And it's not fallible. It's not made up. Everything in it is truth. So we pray this week that you'll be in Bible study and read your Bible, read your scriptures. If you have a older Sunday school study book at home, you might want to be studying through that. Even though we're not having Sunday school, you can still read and study through it. But just some reminders how you can stay closer to the Lord. And stay prayed up. We need your prayers. A pastor needs your prayers. The deacons need your prayers. Our church needs your prayers. I miss, and I know many others miss, being here and being able to see faces and put names and faces together and to know that you're safe from the world. But Satan abounds, and he's still seeking whom he may devour, and taking lives every day. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for this day and for the service coming up and for our pastor, and pray that he'll be anointed with the Holy Spirit and speak the truth, what thus saith the Lord. Not some feel-good story or not some feel-good message, but to challenge us in this time when we need to be challenged. We're being challenged outside in the world, but we need to be challenged spiritually to grow and to be more like him, and we're thankful that you're willing to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day and speak to our Father. God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for us, me, a sinner, lost and undone. We thank you, Lord, for our church family. We thank you, Lord, for those in our church that hear and listen, but they can't be here physically. They're not able. We pray for them daily. We pray, Lord, for the lost around us that are not even concerned about eternity. It's like it hadn't happened yet, and I'm still living, so I'm okay. But, God, we just pray that their heart would be touched and your Holy Spirit would speak to them and challenge them and remind them of who you are and what eternity is. Eternity is something that lasts forever and ever. And we can't imagine that. Most things we think of has a time frame. Today, tomorrow, next week, this service today has a time frame. But God, you're not limited to time. You're God. You're not us, and we're not you. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, and your ways are not our ways. And we're thankful for that. But we just pray, Lord, now for our church family and protect them, shield them from sickness and illness, and especially from the evil one. And we just thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and for answering our prayers. And we just pray that you be with us this day and this week coming. And we just thank you so much for our church and church family. We love you, and you first loved us. And we just continue to pray in your name and for our sake and your sake and our salvations that you've given us. And, Lord, just thank you for this day again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Feet on the floor. I thank him for the day that he gave me one more. I give him all the praise, the one that I adore. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. I was lost and all alone, my heart in need of help. Found eternal life and lost my fear of death, because I know the author of my every breath. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. God of glory, majesty, the Holy One who died for me, who's the one I long to see. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. If your soul's lost and in need of direction, you wonder when you die, if you'll go to heaven, well, friend, I found the answer to that very question. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. God of glory, majesty, the Holy One who died for me, who's the one I long to see. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus.
There we go. Now I'm on. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you today. And yes, I know you can't see me right now, but we're having to figure out if you'd rather me be out there honky horn. All right. Well, we're playing with this thing and trying to figure it out, so just bear with us as we try to figure this out. This morning we're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I ask you to pray for me this morning. The devil's fighting with my focus, not my physical focus, not my eyes, but my spiritual and emotional focus, trying to keep my eyes off Christ and being able to focus on Him. And you know, that's what the devil does many times, is he causes situations to arise in our lives, as you turn to Mark chapter 5, to get our eyes off of Christ and to keep our focus on Him. Because if we're focusing on something else in our life, then we're not letting Christ be the utmost in our life. So today I just ask you to pray for me that my mind and my heart and my spiritual man will be focused on what Christ would have us to do and have us to say. But as you're turning to Mark chapter 5, we're going to be in verse 25 and after that. But we, as you know, we've got some graduates that's getting ready to go off to college. And Sister Katie, this is her last week with us. And she's going to be going to Berea and getting set up there. And she's going to become a Kentuckian for a little while. So we just want to pause right now and have a quick word of prayer over her, and that God bless her and keep her, guide her in where he'd have her to go. But also we want to pray for her mama and daddy as well as they learn this new chapter in life, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, God, I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for the ability to stand and preach your word. And God, I know that I am not equipped to do it. I know that I'm not worthy to do it. I know, Heavenly Father, Lord, there's nothing about me that should be qualified to do this. But God, I pray today through your Spirit that you will give reason and understanding to your word. God, I pray for those that are watching over Facebook today, those that are in the parking lot. God, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those that are sick and ill, those that are depressed, those that are lost, God, we lift them up. But right now, we specifically lift up Sister Katie. God, she's precious to us. She's a daughter to many around this church that have watched her grow and become a beautiful young woman. And God, we know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that this is your part of your path for her life. But God, it's sometimes difficult to let go and to let your path become reality. And so, Lord, we pray protection over her, not by man, not by any might that we might have, but by the blood and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray guidance, wisdom that can only come from heaven, that you give her direction there. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you use her for your glory and that you make much of yourself through her life. And we also pray for Brother Wayne and Sister Tammy and Virginia as well, as they're going to have to get used to a new way of living around the home. But God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today, if I had a title for this message, it would be called A Place for Your Issues. A Place for Your Issues. Now, some people would ask, why are we focusing on trying to get an FM transmitter? Why are we trying to focus on coming together, at least in the parking lot, and having services? Well, if you'll remember in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching." Now, I know that we're not physically together out there, but Christ has told us, the Holy Spirit has guided us in saying, we need to meet together in the physical realm. And even if you're not going to car and talking to each other, you can roll your window down and talk to somebody and still be social distancing pretty good. And so that's our desire. And notice that it says even more as you see that day approaching. Folks, the rapture is closer today than it was yesterday. And you can look at the things that are going on in our country and the things that are happening around the world. And rapture is soon to come. I've told the deacons many times lately, fellas, keep your eyes looking to the east, because at any moment he could call us home. But even if not, we still need the fellowship one with another. It does the world good to drive by Thomas Village Baptist Church and see the cars parked in the parking lot. And so today I do, if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be A Place for Your Issues. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightforward the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power and strength had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging or pushing against you, and thou sayest, Who touched me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he, Jesus, said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" A place for your issues. Now, if you'll remember, a few weeks ago, last week, I made the statement that this would probably be the last time that we were going through the events and the teachings and all that went on in Christ's life. But I'll be honest with you, the devil has brought something up the past 2 weeks that has fought against what Christ wants to do. And then in the midst of it, I've seen Christ's hand work and do something. And I want to say this, whoever it was that brought their change and left it on the church's doorstep, I thank you for that and the intent of your heart that you did that with. We came up this morning and a bag of change was sitting on the front of the porch at the church. But I figured if the devil's going to fight us, well, let's continue on in what Christ is doing and keep teaching about Jesus. I know that this scripture, Jesus said it about him being lifted up on the cross, but I believe and I feel the need in John 12, 32, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And praise God, we're lifting up the name of Jesus and what He's done. Now, like many other of the passages, this is one that you're very familiar with. This is one that we probably studied in Sunday school. We've studied it in the training lessons that we used to have on Wednesday night. I can't even remember what that was called anymore. But we've studied in our personal Bible studies, and so you're not really going to learn anything new. But I do want to read from the other text, because the other text provides us a clear picture of what happened at this event. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, he only records it in two or three verses. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he had saw her, said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole. See, that's just a brief statement. You don't get the fullness of the passage like we find over in the book of Mark. But then in Luke, we get another full passage. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43, it says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her blood was staunched, or it was made whole. It was no longer flowing freely or having that issue of blood. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and said, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith has made thee whole. So see, in this one we see a little bit more of the woman after she's made healed, how she is so thankful when she comes before him, and how she has touched him very much. But today I want to talk about issues. A place for our issues. And I'm going to be honest with you. No more. Usually I tell you that this one is dealt with me before it's dealt with you. Well, no more is that true today than it ever has been before. Because I've got issues and I need to do something with my issues this morning. And I pray that I can follow what the Bible teaches us here. And I pray that it'll help you as well. Now, according to the counts given in the gospel, in each of the Gospels concerning this woman with the issue of blood, Jesus had just been in Gadarenes. That's where he healed the man that was killed. They called him Legion because he had so many demons inside of him. And he was going from the north to the west side of the Sea of Galilee. And also in each account, this is what we've got to notice. In each account of this, what we see is that Jairus, the temple leader or the temple guide, had came to Jesus about his daughter being sick. And so on their way, as Jesus and Jairus were going to his house to heal his daughter, this is when it takes place. That right, she basically interrupts what Jesus is doing by going to Jairus' house. But I want you to think about this. It clearly says that this woman has an issue of blood. Now, we know what the issue was. We don't know where it was, where it was specifically in her, but she was losing blood. She just kept losing blood and losing blood. But the Bible calls it an issue. And I want you to hear what Merriam-Webster defines as an issue. It is a serious or unsettled matter, a problem unsolved, requiring proper skill and a right conclusion. I want you to listen to that. What is an issue today? It is a serious and unsettled matter in our life. There's not a question in my life, mind today, that those of you that are watching by Facebook, and let me say it's good to have you this morning, and those of you that are out there in the parking lot, just as I've admitted myself, Every one of us have an issue. We have a situation or a problem that is unsettled in our life. And that's going to take some serious thinking and some serious pondering before it becomes answered. And today, this is what I want to begin with the sermon. Just as I said, hey, I got issues, praise God. I ain't perfect. I want you to know that as God called me your pastor here, I don't think I'm above you. I think I'm in it with you. We row in this boat together. Amen. But I pray today, whether on Facebook, whether outside, just admit right now, with everybody out loud, just say, I got issues. Amen. I didn't hear you outside, but I'm going to believe you said you got issues. Okay, so we can learn from this woman today. We can look at her life and maybe, just maybe, we'll learn what to do with our issues. I want you to notice the first thing. What we have a person unnamed. A person unnamed. Look there in verse 25. It says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, if we were just reading that many times, we would just pass over that because there's not a specific, it's not Peter, it's not John, it's not Mary. It is just a certain woman. But listen, if we read over it, the word certain is used almost 130 times in the New Testament. It's a certain scribe. A certain priest, a certain king, a certain householder, a certain man with two sons, a certain poor widow, a certain young man, or a certain city. What does certain mean? Certain is an adjective that describes. It's an unspecified character, one of many individuals. I believe today, why did Jesus enlighten or breathe the scripture, as Brother Otis said, to say a certain woman instead of giving her name? Because you know what you can do? You can take out a certain whoever and you can put yourself in that situation. You see, now think about it. Think about the whole crowd that was there that day. Said they were pressing on them and pushing on them. And it would have been very easy for a certain woman to get lost in that crowd. But do you know Jesus knew she was in that crowd? Jesus knew that she was there that day. And can I tell you this morning? Praise God, He knows where you're at as well. Listen to this. There are 328 million people in America today. In the world, there are 7.6 billion people in the world. But do you know what? Jesus knows exactly where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows how you're feeling and what you're going through today. And you're not just some quote-unquote certain person, but you are His creation, made in His image. And what you're going through is important to Him this morning. It may not feel like it's important to anybody else, and you may not feel like anybody cares today. But praise God, our Creator cares for us this morning. And He knows the issues that we're dealing with. Listen to what He says in Matthew chapter 29. And 30, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father knowing, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before me, and I will acknowledge them before my Father who is in heaven. Praise God, it's good to know that I'm more valuable than a chicken, ain't it? And chicken's good. I like chicken. But do you know what? We are the most valuable creation in His eyes today. There is nothing more valuable to Him. We are so valuable that He died on the cross for our sins. He didn't die on the cross for a sparrow. He didn't die on the cross for a cow or a whale or whatever they're trying to protect nowadays. Praise God, He died for humanity, that whosoever would come to Him. Listen what else He says in Psalms 139, 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Praise God, even though the name may say a certain woman, a certain man, a certain widow, God knows who you are. And you can take your name. If you got issues today, why don't you just take away a certain widow and put Brian has issues. Brother Otis has issues. We know Brother Ken has issues. Amen. No, I'm just cutting up. But I believe that's why God wants us to be able to relate. He wants us to understand. So we have an unnamed person. Put your name there. This is your God. And whatever your issue is, your God is dealing with your issue. But I wanted you to notice something else. In verse 26, it is a pressing issue. It is very important to this woman. And had suffered, verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This woman's issue, the bleeding, the loss of blood, the hemorrhaging of blood. I don't know but if you've ever been around anyone that's had it, but it is a major thing. I've got some friends right now that are dealing with issues of losing blood, and they're taking that pill that records everything when it goes down you. If you can't find where the blood is, then you can't stop the bleeding that's there. But notice what it says she had done. It says that she had suffered many things of the doctors, meaning that she had went through many things. And think about this now. They did things then that we don't do now. They didn't have the technology then. They didn't have the ability to knock you out when they were doing something. And they tried some crazy things. I know there was a time in history where they used to put leeches on you and suck the leeches out. And they'd drill holes in your brain trying to relieve pressure. I mean, I don't know what this woman had suffered, but it does not sound like she enjoyed the treatment that she had spent. And again, she had spent everything she had. She spent, does that sound like us in America today? We spend our whole lives working to make money, and then when we get to a place that we can actually try to lay back and enjoy it, then we get sick, and we have to spend all our money trying to get better again. I mean, praise God, just enjoy life. Live for Jesus and enjoy today, because you don't know if tomorrow's coming. But this woman, it was very important to her. It was, matter of fact, it was her life. This issue was her life. If this bleeding was not stopped, she was going to die. Remember, we've already confessed that we all have issues. And you know what? You could tell your issues to other people, and they may not think a lot about it. But to you, it is very important. To you, it's a big deal. To you, it weighs heavy on your mind when you wake up in the morning and heavy on your heart when you wake up. That's where I'm at, that it just hangs there. And every time you try to think about something else, it's just hanging there and hanging there and hanging there. Can I tell you something? If it's big and important to you, praise God, it is important to Him because you are His child. I want you to think about your children. When your children are being bullied or they're having something going on in their life, don't you worry about it. Lord bless me for my country. But ain't you concerned about what they're going through? Yes, we are. And think about how much greater our Father in heaven is concerned with our issue. And He knew with this woman what she was going through. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think this certain woman would have come to Jesus had it not been for her issue? Do you think that this certain woman would have come to Jesus had it not been for her issue? I don't believe she would. It said she had done everything else. And she sought the world, exactly. Whatever the world had, she sought for it. And God allowed this issue to bring her to Jesus. Can I ask you about your issue this morning? What are you going through? What's happening in your life? Could it be that God wants to use your issue to draw you closer to Him? To make you willing to push through all the rigmarole and all the other stuff in your life so that you can lay hands on Jesus Christ and so that Christ can lay His hands on you? I mean, I know we don't like to think about that, but most people that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ end up being backed into a corner where there's basically only two ways out, and that's Him or loss of life. But this woman had a bigger issue than just her physical being. This woman was dying and going to hell. Remember, it tells us that it's a specific problem, unresolved, that needs to be handled. That's what an issue is. This woman did not know Jesus Christ. Listen, it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive through together with Him, having forgiveness of all our trespasses." She had a spiritual issue. She had a spiritual unsettled matter, a problem that needed to be answered. And praise God, God used the physical issue to bring her to Jesus so Jesus could handle the spiritual issue. You remember a few weeks ago, we studied about the quadriplegic and his four friends that came and dropped him down. What did God do? Christ used the physical issue to bring him to Jesus so Jesus could solve the physical issue. I believe today, whoever you are and whatever your issue is, whether it be big in my mind or whether it be small in my mind, it is your issue, and God has a purpose for that issue in your life. There is no doubt in my mind. There is nothing that comes into a believer's life that is not allowed and purposed by our Lord and Savior. You see, she had two pressing issues. This unnamed woman, let's just say Brian. This Brian had two. One was a physical that she knew, and she had done everything I could to do. I'm not a she, okay? But everything that I could to get it healed. To the doctors, spent her money, suffered all kinds of tests and treatments, and still was none the better. But she also was lost without Jesus. She didn't have a personal relationship with Him. She didn't know who He was and what all He could actually do. So we see that there's an unnamed person, or a person unnamed. Think about this. Many people today, like us, we are carrying our issues. And we just talked about what is that issue that she had. God used it to bring her to Jesus. But many of us today, this is what we do with our issues. Instead of looking for the way that Christ, even Christians now, instead of looking for a way that Christ can draw us closer to Him, we ask the question, or say, "Why me? This is not fair." Now, I'm going to talk about some of our issues this morning. Maybe the issue this morning is that you're lost. Well, praise God, you know what? Jesus is the Savior to the lost. Maybe your issue is you're depressed. He is the joy to this world and the joy to the next. Maybe your issue is drug use. Praise God, He's the chain breaker. Maybe your issue is hatred and forgiveness. Praise God, He's the Prince of Peace. Maybe your issue is marital problems. You know what? Only He can keep a marriage together anyway. But this is whatever your issue is, listen what the Bible tells us about Jesus. Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is ever respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin." Whatever our issue is, Jesus is acquainted with our issues. Don't that make you feel good today? Nobody else may know how you feel, but Jesus knows how you feel today. You may feel like you're an unnamed person, but praise God, He knows your name. Matter of fact, He created you in your mother's womb. If you've got a dimple in your chin, it was His finger that caused that dimple there. But not only that, praise God, He knows that your issue is pressing for you. It's pressing for you. And then the next thing I want to think about as we find a place for our issues, I want you to think about a probe for healing. A probe for healing. Look there in verses 27 through 28. "And when she had heard of Jesus, she came and pressed behind and touched His garment. For she said, 'If I may but touch His clothes, I shall be made whole.'" Now, let's not forget what the issue is. An issue is a serious and unsettled matter. A problem that is unanswered, requiring much thought and much skill. Now, she had this problem. She's went everywhere she could go to find it. But now it says she had heard of Jesus. I wonder what she heard. Maybe she had, remember he just came from Gad. I wonder if she heard about what he did in Gad over in Mark chapter 5 verses 13 through 15. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down to a steep place in the sea. And they came to Jesus and see him that had possessed with the demons and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Maybe she heard about that. Maybe she heard about when he healed the quadriplegic. That's back over in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. But praise God, somehow, some way, she had heard about Jesus. I just want you to hear something this morning. Brother Eddie Hood is at home. Praise God, it was God who brought him home. Brother Nolan is at home. Praise God, it was God who brought him home. I don't care if it was the doctor's medicine or whatever, it was his touch. God has brought new membership to Thomas Village Baptist Church. Praise God, it was God who did that. See, we need to be telling. Can I tell you what? This blowed my mind. And I'm just going to this is one of them fights. We play our videos and we show our things on Facebook, but do you want to know what the most shared one was of all of it? We got to close the doors because of COVID. That was one of the most shared ones. Not that Jesus is doing it anymore, no. And that's just the way life is, and I appreciate y'all sharing that. But it just goes to show you that we need to be testifying about what God is doing, and that He has touched our issues. And He can touch their issues as well. Because God is no respecter of persons. Listen, today we'll say stuff like this, that we're ready to I'm getting ahead of myself. All of these were someone else's issues. Marriages, resentment, alcohol, people's character being changed, all of those at one time were issues that Christ Jesus has touched. He changed the marriage that was falling apart to a trophy of the grace of God. He took the resentful and angry individual and made them one of peace and harmony. He took the alcoholic and made him a recovering alcoholic. And he took a person who was wicked and hateful in nature and made them into a new creature, as it tells us over in the book of Corinthians. You see, when Jesus is somewhere, when Jesus is there, and you reach out to Him, praise God today. The Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith that we proclaim. Will you today just simply say, Lord, I've got an issue and I need you to handle my issue. I need you to reach down and to touch my issue. I can't do anything with it, but Lord, I believe it's with the widow woman. Or with the woman that had the issue of blood, that you could but touch it, and it will be made whole and made right. We've looked at the person unnamed. We've looked at the pressing issue. We've looked at the woman willing to probe for healing. But now let's look at the product of faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verses 29 and 31 through 31. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing within himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, this was Peter, if you look over in Luke chapter 8, verse 45. Peter said unto him, Thou seest the multitude pressing up against you. And thou sayest, Why do you ask, Who touched me? I want you to notice, first off, this woman had an easy excuse not to reach out. She had an easy excuse. Look, it says that the multitude were thronging, or they were pressing on them, pushing on them. She could have said, it's just too hard for me to press through. It's too difficult for me to press through. This issue is too hard for Jesus to solve. Just like the quadriplegic's friend. You remember they came to the door and the door was packed. They couldn't get in there. But remember, they said, We ain't going no further. No, what did they say? We're going to go as far as it takes to see our friend get up and walk again. You know what? Many of us today, we'll say we've got issues in our lives. And we'll acknowledge that we've got issues in our lives. And outwardly, we'll look for and we'll pray about a way to handle it. But inwardly, we hold on to it. We say this issue's too small to give it to the Lord. We'll say something like this: I've tried before and I still have it. I remember Brother Philip Smith talking about many a times he brought something down to the altar, and I guess it had been a lot, and finally he was able to lay it down. You don't really want to get rid of it because you want to play the victim. You don't want to let go of it because, see, if your issue gets healed, then you don't have the victimhood. You're not hurt anymore. You're not mad anymore. I've got somebody right now in my mind. They wanted something. They'd be in church on every Sunday. They'd pray and they would put posts on Facebook and all this. Well, guess what? God didn't give them their way. Now they won't be found in church. They've basically turned their back on Him. Why? Because He didn't deal with their issue the way they wanted their issue to be dealt with. Do you really want to get rid of what you're holding on to? Hey, some of us, and we talked about this not long ago, Brother Otis, some of us try to make a deal. We'll say, okay, Lord, I'll give you this issue if you'll handle this issue this way. And then if you'll handle it this way, then I'll do this. Can I ask you, what in your life? You see, that's what makes a deal. When you have something another person wants and another person has something you want, then that's a good deal. You trade. What is it in our lives that Jesus needs? Not a thing. We shouldn't make deals with Him. We should fall down on our knees and say, thank God at the offer you're making. But see, lots of times we don't want to let go of our issues because they're our pets. But praise God, if you're willing to let go of the issue, you like the woman, it may not be immediate. Hers was immediate. God took it away like that. If you're an alcoholic, if you're a drug addict, I'm not saying that God will take away. He can. I've seen Him do it. I know men that He's done it with. But you know what? If He doesn't take it away immediately, you know what He'll do? He'll bear the burden with you. He'll take that issue on Himself to carry it with you. We have the unnamed person. You could be that unnamed person. A pressing issue. Probably you've got a pressing issue. We see that the probe, that she was willing to give the issue to Christ. She was really not to keep it to herself. And we see that that issue brought her to Christ. And I truly believe that God does that many times to bring us to Him. And then we see the product of faith in Christ. What does it say? It was gone. Immediately it was dried up. Praise God today. He can handle our issues. None of our issues are too big for Him to deal with. Ain't that awesome? That's awesome. And you know what else? Others have been to the same point. Others have been to the point that they had their issues. If you look over in Mark chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, it says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Jose, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters with us? And took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet without honor, except in his hometown, among his relatives, and of his own household. He could do no mighty works there, except he laid hands on a few sick people, and healed them. And he marveled because of unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. You see what? We have the woman who took her issues to Jesus. She had faith in Jesus that He could handle her issues. But see, what we just read right there is that no doubt everybody's got issues. And that was his hometown of Nazareth. They had issues. But it says that He didn't heal many because of a lack of faith. Where are you at this morning? Are you wanting to hold on to your issue? Are you willing to trust that He is able to handle your issue, to deal with your issue? Listen, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. So when God desired to show a more convincingly to His heirs of the promise, the unchangeable character of His purpose. He guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, and a hope that enters into the inner place behind the certain issue. Let's not forget, it wasn't just the issue of blood. This woman had a spiritual issue. And when Jesus said, "Somebody touched me," it was by faith that she came to Him. Can I tell you this? I can remember the day when I got saved. I can remember the day when Jesus called me to preach and confirmed it in my life. Praise God, He handled those issues. Maybe today you truly need to be saved. Maybe that's what He's doing with the issues in your life. Believe you me, your issues are not punishments. Some of them are just life situations. Life has issues, but God will use those to draw us to Him. Think about this woman when she walked away. She could say, "Oh, praise God, my blood was healed, but I met the Messiah. I met the Savior. I met the promised one." Do you know the day that you can, whether you're on Facebook, whether you're outside, whatever's going on, you know you can leave here to say, saying, "I gave my issue to the Lord, but more importantly, I met the promised one. I met the Messiah." Or maybe today you just need to let go. You know, praise God, He never said that we're going to just give it up one time and that'll be it. No, every day there's certain things I have to give over to Him. Anger, resentment, different things like that. Past as long ago that the devil still wants to use to rile me up on the inside. I have to give it back. Maybe today you just need to say, "I'm holding a grudge. I give You my grudge." Maybe today your marriage is on the rocks and you need to say, "Lord, I got an issue in my marriage. Take my marriage. I got an issue with my job. I got an issue with my friend." You remember, it's an unresolved problem. Won't you let Jesus resolve it? Maybe today you're lost. You know what? If you feel that Holy Spirit drawing you, telling you that today Jesus wants to change your life, He wants to change your destination, all you simply have to do is pray a prayer of faith. There's not a magic prayer, and I really don't like leading people in it, but it's just simply something like this. "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken Your law. I'm sorry. I believe You suffered for my sins and rose on the third day. And if You'll forgive me, I'll live my life for You." But you don't have to pray that. It's whatever you pray from your heart. God will understand. Because He knows your issue. He knows what's going on. Maybe you need to join Thomas Village Baptist Church. Not a better day to do it. You say, "How will I do it?" Well, just text it on to Facebook or something like that. Whatever you need to do. But if you need someone to pray with you today, I know that we're practicing distancing and all that stuff. But if you would, you just walk up under the vestibule out there and we'll pray for you, okay? But it's good to be with you. I'm thankful for you. And there's a place for your issues today. And that's in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may feel like a person unknown. I know that you feel like your issue is pressing. Will you willingly probe in faith for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when you do, the product will be amazing. And remember this, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus has done for you. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can imagine. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for those that's here with us, those that's watching on Facebook. But God, I know that You're able to handle issues, and I pray today You'll teach us what it means to give You our issues. Holy Spirit, we need You to teach us how to hand over our issues. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We just hold on to them. And so, God, today I confess to You, I need You to handle my issues. And I believe that You're drawing me closer to You through them. And so, Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. There is no God like Jehovah. You're ruling and reigning on high. Your power is in control of all things. There's not anything going on in this world that you're not in control of. And so, Lord, we say there is no God like our God. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you later. Oh, and deacons, if y'all would, meet me under the vestibule. I reckon that's what...